Yeah, I enjoyed the food y'all fed us tonight. That was delicious. And if I go short tonight and then fall asleep during the second message, you'll understand why. But I appreciate the warm welcome, too. It's nice to be in a place so friendly. It really is an honor. It's good to see you guys. Did you guys play ball tonight? No? That's your church clothes? Your uniform? No, I love it. Sitting on the bench. I started playing baseball when I was about 8 years old. And I tell people that's the only thing in life I was ever good at. But I learned a valuable lesson my dad taught me when I was 8. And when I started playing baseball, he said to me, "Son, don't come home with a clean uniform." And that stuck with me through the rest of my life. You know, what he was saying to me was, "I don't really care if you win or not." He said, "But you're playing ball, you better dive for those ground balls. You better go down swinging on that third strike. You better hustle down those base paths." And I did. I did. I hustled. I came home with a clean uniform every time I played. I'm sorry, a dirty uniform. See if y'all are paying attention. I did get a play, huh? But I say that because one day I'm going to be standing before my Heavenly Father. I don't want to go home with a clean uniform. I want Him to be able to tell that I hustled, that I worked, that I got after it. But it's good to see you guys tonight. There were a lot of times I'd come to church in my uniform. A lot of times I didn't get to play in the All-Star games because we had church that night. But I love baseball. I shared with some of you, many of you, my testimony in my DVD about us going to Mexico. My wife and I are going down to Molongo, Hidalgo, Mexico. And we have a desire to go to the unreached people groups, some of the indigenous tribes. Now, we'll be starting off in that town. I think it's about 10,000 people. It's a Hispanic town. So we got to learn Spanish, and then we're going to try to learn some other indigenous languages. And right now, we're in Bowie, Texas, studying linguistics. And I tried to share a little bit with you what that is. And people still ask us, are we learning a language? And I guess if you consider the names of our classes, I mean, we've got phonetics, phonemics, morphology, syntax. Some of those terms to me are a foreign language, but we're not studying any one language in particular. Right now, we're actually in the middle of a Bible translation principles. And it's exciting. It's a little daunting to me to think that I'm going to be involved in providing God's word to somebody who's never had it before. It's exciting. But I'll be honest, it's a little overwhelming. It is. It's the most complex class I've ever taken in my life. You'd think it'd be simple, really, just putting these words in another language. But it's not at all. I mean, you take the word "of," just that one little word. That means a lot of different things. It really does. I mean, you think Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay, so "of," in that instance, would mean "from." Then you say Jesus Christ, the Son of God. "Of" carries a different meaning in that instance. There's a lot of different meanings that one little word "of" carries. And translating the Bible is going to be a very difficult task for us. I would appreciate it if y'all pray for us. It's an adventure what God has for us. I know I read about Paul and him talking about that effectual door being opened. We're working with another missionary, Brother Ethan Shields. Brother Ethan built an airplane. I shared that with you, and we're going to use that to go up into the villages. And then we're going to be working with a national pastor who's moving to that area, and the three of us are going to work together to reach those unreached tribes. And the national pastor we're working with, his name is Nata. He was in a little town just north of where we're going. And he met a guy who was a newly elected official. And this guy was a Christian, and he was talking to Nata, and neither of them had ever met before. They didn't know each other. But he was telling Nata, "You know, I've got a burden to reach some of these, what they call marginalized tribes." He said, I'm not really sure why God put me in this position or how I'm going to do it. But I can say tonight, I believe God's opening a door. Now, I know Mexico's dangerous, but I've got complete confidence that's where God has called us to. I'll share that story with you real quick. When I was 15, God called me to Mexico. And I prayed about where specifically in Mexico. I planned for that. I worked towards that. I ended up living in a foreign country, Louisiana, after I married my wife. But I'm not kidding. That was strange. But one day as I was attending church, my job that morning was to guard the parking lot. It was a good sized church, so I was walking around the parking lot. I didn't even get to hear the preaching. But I was fasting that day, specifically that God would show me where in Mexico He would have me minister. I'd prayed about Oaxaca, the state of Oaxaca. I'd prayed about the Yucatan, Chiapas. God never gave me any direction. So as I was praying that morning, the service ended. I stepped inside as they were closing in prayer, and our pastor, Brother Buchanan, called a young man up. He stood up in the pulpit and just gave a quick word. He said, "My name is Ethan Shields." He said, "I'm a third-generation missionary in Mexico. We're going to reach unreached people groups." And I thought, I was just praying for that, and God already had my answer to prayer. And so Lord put us together, and as I said, we are excited. We really are. I'm nervous, I'm not going to lie, but I'm really excited. I do want to preach to you just a little bit tonight. I can't see that clock back there, so y'all are in trouble. I don't have my glasses.
That's
okay. No, I'm not very long-winded, and I know there's several preachers in here. I don't really know why I'm preaching, but I've heard said that two things make a preacher want to preach. Listening to a preacher who can. I mean, he'll get you fired up. You'll want to get up there and start testifying and preaching. And then a preacher who can't. So we'll see how it goes tonight. But I want to preach on this thought, Jesus and the tree. Jesus and the tree. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. It is a privilege to be able to stand behind this holy desk and to open your holy word. And Lord, I know I'm inadequate. I'm nobody special. But I count it a privilege to have this opportunity. Lord, just use me tonight to be a challenge and a blessing. In your name we pray. Amen. In, I think it was 1964, a young man was doing some graduate work, and he was researching some trees. He went up in a national park, and with the help of a park ranger, cut this tree down. He wanted an old tree so that he could study it. Well, they cut this tree down, and he started counting the rings. By the time he finished counting the rings, he realized he'd cut down a tree that was 4,900 years old. 4,900 years old. That was the oldest tree in the world. He made a big mistake. Not only was it the oldest tree, it had been the world's oldest living organism until he killed it. He made a mistake. He lived with that the rest of his life. But I look at the Bible and I enjoy seeing some things in here. And I think about Jesus and the stories that he's involved with where there's a tree involved. And when Jesus is involved with the tree, he doesn't make a mistake. The first passage I want to look at is in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. I want to tell you tonight, at this tree, he sought me. Verse number 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Now Philip, or Nathanael, goes from, in verse number 48, he goes from a doubting man. He didn't believe that any good thing could come out of Nazareth. But there's something in that statement that Jesus made that completely changed Nathanael's life. In Jewish culture, a fig tree is very important. They would say that mothers would take their babies as they worked and place them under the fig tree, hoping for prosperity, that would bring prosperity to their children. Not only that, but turn to 1 Kings chapter number 4. 1 Kings chapter number 4. We've got a couple verses I want to try to read to you. I may not be able to get to them all. 1 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 25. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Now go over to Micah chapter number 4. Micah chapter number 4. Verse number 4. The Bible says, "But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it." Then in Zechariah chapter number 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." Maybe what Nathanael took out of this statement that Jesus made was that Jesus knew him. As his mother placed him under the fig tree, perhaps God already knew him. We read about the days of Solomon. There was prosperity, there was peace, there was safety. Israel longed for these times once again. That was the glory days of Israel. And the customs tell us that the Jews would often take the Holy Scriptures and they would read underneath a fig tree, and they would meditate, and they would study. Maybe God was telling Nathanael, "I saw you as you studied there. You were hoping, you were waiting for the Messiah." And then we read in Micah and Zechariah, those are prophecies of the millennial kingdom. Maybe God was telling Nathanael, "I'm the Messiah. I'm going to be the one who ushers in that kingdom. And you can dwell under your fig tree. You, for 1,000 years, you can have peace and prosperity and safety." Something in that conversation struck Nathanael. I'm telling you tonight, at the tree in our lives, Jesus is seeking us. You may find yourself in immorality, trying to ease loneliness in your life, or in addictions, trying to fill that emptiness. You may find yourself in those cults and religions of the world trying to find that real peace. But no matter how hard Nathanael studied, no matter how long he waited, he wasn't going to find it on his own. He wasn't going to get there. Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. Bible says in verse number 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Verse number 11 continues, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." We look for answers in our life, but we're turning in all the wrong places. But I'm thankful to tell you tonight, as we dream of peace, as Nathanael probably did, as we hope for prosperity, as Nathanael probably did, Jesus sought him. In the early 1900s, a group of Wa people, they were headhunters in Asia. They gathered together with a pony, and they decided that they were going to follow that pony to a white man who had the book from the one true God. So for weeks, they followed this pony. Over the mountains, down the trails, 200 miles, they followed this pony. One day, this pony stopped beside a hole in the ground. And they gathered over to that hole. They looked down. See what's in there? There was a white man in that hole. He was digging a well. They looked down and asked him, "Do you have the book from the one true God?" That man was missionary William Young. Do you think it's a coincidence that a missionary was in that hole? Do you think it's a coincidence that those Wa people followed that pony? What I'm telling you tonight is Jesus is seeking us. God put that together. And as Nathanael sat under that fig tree, Jesus sought him. Turn to Luke chapter number 19. At the tree, I'm thankful the night that Jesus sought me. Luke chapter 19. At my tree tonight, Jesus brought me. Luke 19, verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that was a sinner. Last weekend, just a few days ago, I went to the grasslands around Decatur. Anybody y'all know where the grasslands at? And I figured I'm going to be doing a lot of hiking in Mexico, going up the trails and stuff. I better do some hiking and get some practice while I'm at it. So I decided to hike out there and spend the night. Well, I was wandering around, and I'd taken my .22 to keep me safe from snakes or maybe wild hogs or something like that. Well, a park ranger saw me after I'd hiked for a couple hours. And I wasn't in trouble. But he told me, hey, you can't have that out here. You can take a shotgun, but you can't have a rifle. So he let me climb in the truck, and he took me back to my car so I could put my rifle in the trunk of my car. But as I was hiking along, I'd look at my map, try to figure out a good place to camp that evening, and I thought I was going in the right direction. But after he picked me up and took me back to my car, I realized I had no idea where I was. I had no idea where I'd been. And thankfully, he brought me to the right place. Zacchaeus is sitting up in this tree. And a sycamore tree, I learned this week. A sycamore tree, you think of the American sycamore tree, don't they have those little fuzzy balls you can throw at people? Well, this sycamore tree in the Bible was a wild fig tree. And if you think about the law first mentioned, the first figs in the Bible were the fig leaves that Adam and Eve used to try to cover themselves. I can picture Zacchaeus here. Bible says he was a sinner. I mean, he was a wicked man. He had a reputation. People probably hated him as a tax collector. Zacchaeus may not have realized his need. He just wanted to see Jesus. Maybe he wanted to see the celebrity or him do the miracles. But when Jesus brought him, Zacchaeus got saved, and God did a work in his life. We can hide in our sin. We can try to cover ourselves, but God can see through those fig leaves. And I'm thankful tonight, and even though we were sinners, Jesus is willing to accept us. And he'll bring us to that place of salvation. At the tree, like Nathanael, Jesus sought me. At the tree, like Zacchaeus, Jesus brought me. When I was a four-year-old boy, I was sitting in junior church. I am privileged to have grown up in a Christian home. Today, my dad's a pastor. It wasn't always like that. He wasn't always a pastor. He was always a godly man. But I sat in that junior church, and that preacher, we didn't play a whole lot of games. We didn't have a little video. He preached on hell. And as I sat in those pews, I realized that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I trusted Christ as my Savior that day. We can follow Christ's example. And we can seek those that are lost. There are people all around the world today, who want an answer. They want real peace. They want joy. They want the hope of eternity. We need to seek them. There are those like Zacchaeus, who may not even know they have a need. We need to be willing to confront lost sinners in their sin. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come on down. When's the last time you talked to a sinner about their need? Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. This right here is what it's all about. First Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Listen to me, the tree that Nathanael sat under bore figs. The tree that Zacchaeus climbed bore figs. But the tree that Jesus climbed that day bore the souls of men. Like Nathanael, I can dream. I can wait for that coming kingdom. I can wish for prosperity. But without this tree, I'm hopeless. Like Zacchaeus, I can live in riches. I can be successful as he thought he was. But I can still be a sinner without this tree. On that day, on the tree on Mount Calvary, Jesus cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He cried, Thou shalt be with me in paradise. He cried, It is finished. And on that day, on that tree, Jesus bought you and me. Tonight he's seeking you. He'll bring you. But I'm telling you tonight, he's already bought you. And we can follow his soul-winning examples with Nathanael and Zacchaeus. But without his purchase on that tree, without his resurrection, without his shed blood, we're hopeless. I challenge you tonight, seek those that are lost. Bring lost sinners, confront them in their sin, to the tree where Jesus bought you and me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. Help each and every one of us to take the example of our Lord and Savior. And Lord, there's so much in the Gospels. And everything you've done for us was given for our benefit, for our learning. Help us to realize there's more to it than just a tree. There's the fruit of that tree. And Lord, that tree that you died on, you shed your blood on, are the souls of men. Help us to be willing to go out and harvest that fruit, dear Lord. Bless us tonight. In your name we pray. Pastor.